The Ralbag in Parshas Kisiso, when it talks about the Maisa Egel and Aaron's involvement in it, and he tells them when he sees that the situation is going to happen anyway and he doesn't know what to do about it, so he tells them to bring their Nizme HaZohov and from their wives in the hope to stole things and whatever, but it was his strategy of trying to minimize or avoid what's taking place. So the Ralbag says there's a toyelis here in Midos. For who? Ki ha'odom kishayire kavonas va'anoshim lasis ra. When a person sees that people intend to do something that's evil, v'yoidea she'im yochichem al zeh lo yekablu mimenu, he knows that if he's going to reprimand them, they're not going to accept it from him. That it's not going to work. He won't be able to succeed. Then a strategy would be to show on a certain level that he agrees with them. In other words, he's working with them. And that way he'll be able to find some chokhmah to be able to prevent to whatever extent he can. In other words, if he just speaks to them directly and forbids it or objects to it, so they're not going to listen. So this way, where he seems to be working with them, he'll be able to figure out some way at least to minimize it as much as possible. They'll trust him and they'll think that he agrees with them. And this is a good tachbula that people could use to withhold to prevent evil from people that they love. And really, it's a very practical thing, too, because sometimes, you know, we take too strident a position and they just get turned off. We do it with our children, we do it with others. And sometimes, if you're willing to at least entertain the mistake, then you develop a certain sense of trust and confidence. And then from that inner sanctum, so to speak, you have a better chance to maneuver things in a positive direction. Okay. If he's just mochiach them when they asked him to do this Egel, and he's going to be mochiach them, he says he knows they're not going to listen. He showed as if he agrees with them. And he tries in every way possible to prevent it through this process. Koas olav Hashem. Hashem was angry at him, Yisaleh. Ve'omar shlahashmidayim Yisroel. And he told him he really deserves to be destroyed with the Klal Yisroel, who sinned with this thing. He should have rather give his life to be killed. And therefore he should have been ready to give his life. It would have been appropriate for him to be mochiach them. And even if it won't accomplish anything, because it's not appropriate for anyone to see that he's masking with this in any way possible. Im shohu hoyo sibo malahachtiom, even though it would be a sibo to, I guess it means to get them off their goal. That's a funny language, but that's what it means. But since his kavona was good, Hashem did him a toiv and he made him the Kohen Godel. So what's going on over here? It seems that the pshat is like this, that Aaron had a strategy, and the strategy is good. It's a very appropriate strategy. It works, or it can work, to appear to agree, to engage them in what they were doing, and through the trust and the acceptance that he gets, he's able to influence them. However, there was a problem. Why was Hashem upset at him? Because this was in a different level. this was it was Ke'en Avodah Zorah, whatever it was, you know, for the Dor Deo, it was not Avodah Zorah, it was some dakis of over-reliance on Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever the Mefarshim say, it certainly wasn't. But it was akin to Avodah Zorah for them. And therefore, in a certain sense, he should have been roy to give his life. He shouldn't. He can't. He can't even appear to be maskim. Because since this is such a chomertic thing, you can't appear to be maskim. And he was. And that was an avla. Kodesh Baruch Hu was angry at him. But he was rewarded because of kavanosa hatoivo, that he was rewarded with the kahuna gedoyla. So I think you see here now, it could be that you see more, but I don't know if you can prove it. But I see clearly one thing, that a person can do something which really should have been Yehoreg Valyavor. He should not have even shown that he's maskim with this terrible thing that they were doing, Lafi Madrigosum. And yet, since he was Mechavin L'toivo, and I don't know if every Kavona L'toivo works that way, but certainly in this case he was Mechavin to protect, to prevent Klal Yisrael from such a terrible Avla. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that. He was angry at him for the mistake that he made. He should have given his life. But since his intent was, and in this case the intent was clearly to save Klal Yisrael, so Memela, he has to be not only forgiven, but he's rewarded for that kavona l'toivo in something which in reality he shouldn't have done to the extent that he should have given his life. So I think that, you know, and it could be that goes any kavod l'toiva, I don't know, it's not mistaver. But one thing I do see clearly from here, sometimes we're afraid to do for Klal Yisrael. And sometimes the fear comes from something very pure. I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I'm accomplished enough. I don't know if I'm sincere enough. I don't know if I'm capable enough. I don't know this. I don't know that. And, you know, I may make mistakes. And what if I make a mistake? And Shev Al Taseh, it's better not to do anything than to make a mistake. I don't want to be mekalkel. Maybe I'm going to do damage. And do damage is worse than not doing anything at all. But we see something that I guess we have to keep that in the back of our minds too. That when what I do, I've done with good intention, I guess it had to make some sense too. It had to be something that was logical, had a chance, or really had the ability to have a positive effect. But I missed something. I made a mistake, and I made a serious mistake in the process. But since my kavona was for that benefit, and again, the only thing I know for sure here is such a kavona l'toivo, which was to save Klal Yisrael from the Chet HaEgel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, you made a mistake, and it's a very serious thing. Mitzad sheni, your efforts are to be rewarded, not just forgiven, but rewarded because of the fact that you have that kavanosa l'toiva. And I think that sometimes can be a very big chizuk when we're very worried or nervous or concerned about our possibility of making mistakes in the process of dealing with others and hashpo and teaching and Klal Yisrael. And I think that this can make a big difference in terms of realizing that when we're mechaven for that benefit, certainly for that benefit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that as worthy of rewarding, even though in the process we may have made a very serious error. I apologize for the copies, but the copy machine was not working. There's a Sefer HaIkrim, another topic altogether. There's a Sefer HaIkrim, which it's in Maimer Ravi, Perek Memtes. And he says like this, HaTikva L'dovor SheMekaveh Mesupek Boi Im SheHaMekaveh Mesupek Boi Im Egeh Im Lav Tatrid HaNefesh Lachshov Machshovois Kedei LaHasigoi. If a person has, let's call it a hope, of something that he's mesupik whether it's going to happen or not, so it creates a certain tirda. I have to do something. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Maybe I'm not doing enough. I have to do this. I have to do that. I got a lot to do. I got a lot to worry. It's a daiga because I don't know if it's going to happen. So I have to take care of it. I have to do. Aval hatikva l'dovah she'oda muvtach boi she'yovoi k'may she'yekavel or haboiker, a hope that a person is promised that's going to happen. He has a haftoch, or he's botuach, that it's going to happen, like awaiting, like hoping for the sun to rise in the morning. He says, that's different. Lo yatrid ha-nefesh. That's not going to cause tirda, because there's nothing I have to do about it, because for sure it's going to happen. Avol Yisamcheno is going to rejoice it. B'hiyoyso misha'eres ha'toiv ha'hu ha'mevukush v'hiyoyso b'tachas she'yagia. Because he thinks about this, and he's sure it's going to happen. Al zeh haderech roi shetia ha'tikvo la'Hashem k'sheyia b'teach b'y b'tochen sholem she'yashlim tikvose b'lisofik. And that's the way a person should have this hope to Hashem, that he has, when he has b'tochen sholem, that he has this tikva, that he will be memale the tikva b'lisofik. It's definitely going to happen. Achar sheyesh lecholis b'yodoi mishem akev al yodoi. And since Hashem has nothing limiting him, and he can certainly do it, so he has to, he's sure that it's going to happen, and he has to feel this positive hope and not to to be torued with it. V'loy kemo shemekava dova shemesupikim yagia v'im lo yagia. V'atikva azoiz techazek halevet yisamcheu, and so forth. So, what's going on over here? He talks about a person who has bitochin, and is the bitochin is sheyashlim tikvose b'lisofik. Now, it would seem to me that hope and trust are two different and maybe even opposing or contradictory emotions. Trust is, I'm sure it's going to happen. Hope is, I hope it's going to happen, but I'm not sure. Like, so you have bitochen, and to the one who is batuach that it's going to happen, then he's batuach that Hashem will be mashlim tikvose b'lisofik. It sounds like tikva that we're talking about does not really mean hope. In fact, the Rabbi Avrom ben Arambam, when he lists four different forms of tikva, he says kivui, yichul, tzipui, and chikui. And it seems that they're all forms of awaiting, not hoping. Hoping sounds like this hope that I'm not sure it's going to happen. That's an awaiting. I'm waiting for it, but I don't know. There's a difference between a different kind of a hope, a different kind of a tzipui, a different kind of a chinkui, a different kind of a yichul. And that is the pshat. I know it's going to happen, and I'm waiting for it to happen. I'm waiting. I know that it's going to happen, and I'm waiting. And that, he seems to say, that is this lesson of sheyeh atikvah la'Hashem k'sheyeh b'yteach b'y b'tochen sholem sheyashlem tikvos b'lisofik. So the Baal B'tochen is really having two stages to his emotions. He's sure it's going to happen, but now he also has to wait. Just because he's sure, or I would say something else, just because he has a flash of a momentary sureness, which sometimes we could have, that's not necessarily enough. The mahus of the true bitochen is one who is confident it's going to happen and has the ability to maintain that confidence and await for it. And even though it's not happening, it didn't come today, it didn't come tomorrow, it didn't come the next day, but I'm still waiting with that sureness that it's going to happen. And I don't allow the fact that it delays, I'm still waiting. And that's the mahus of the Midas HaBitochen. And the truth of the matter is that the Meiri says this in short words. I should have chapped what he meant. He says, Meiri in Brochus on Daf Samach, on the Gemara there of Hillel HaZaken, where it's Bo Be'ir, and he has a called Tzvoch, and he says, Batuach ani she'ein zeh b'toich beisi. So the Meiri says, HaBoteach b'Hashem, ein toicheles sheloi nichzevo. One who puts his trust in Hashem, his toicheles, that hoping, that awaiting, will not be disappointed. It sounds like, what are we not disappointing? The awaiting, not the bitochen. In other words, bitochen is not just, I'm sure, and therefore Hashem is going to respond to me. I'm sure, and I'm awaiting. And that awaiting seems to be a chelek, or maybe it's the whole, I don't know to what extent, but it's a critical piece of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to it. Because I'm going to disappoint this waiting. I'm going to disappoint the person. He's waiting with sureness, and I can't disappoint him. It's not just he's sure, but he's awaiting with sureness, and therefore I can't disappoint him. And what this means really is that sometimes the impatience that we feel when, I mean, people come, happy talking, why isn't it happening? I mean, first of all, so we tell such a person, you know, have bitochen, not so push it. It's like Rabbi Yisrael Salanta's guy who said, have bitochen, he'd win 10,000, whatever it was. And he asked him if he'd sell him the ticket for half. And he said, yes. And other, you see, you're fooling yourself. But let's say he has that. But unless it's maintained, unless it's the pshat, it's a bitochen that's memushechet. It goes on and on. I'm waiting. I mean, yeah, I'm disappointed. Yeah, no, it didn't happen. No, but that's good for the test. The test of this bitochen is the ability not only to feel that it's going to happen, to be sure, but to be able to wait with that sureness. Like I wait for the Or HaBoker, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm waiting for the sun to rise, and I know it's going to happen, and the waiting doesn't interfere with the sureness. Ki uzeh, what do you mean? It's another hour. It's another clock. Is moving so slowly. It's the middle of the night. Time never moved so slowly. And it's so weird, and so cold, and it's so miserable. But it's going to happen. And that seems to be the koyach of bitochen, and that seems to be the habitech b'Hashem ein toicheles shloi nichseva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to disappoint that positive, sure awaiting, and that seems to be the koyach, that I guess the entitlement, if you will, of that the bitochen, which means that sometimes when a person feels that they have this sense of bitochen, but they don't see things happening, we have to realize that the bitochen is not an event. It's not a momentary feeling. It's a process. And that's still part of the process and part of the bitochen and part of the schus that allows us to actually achieve is the fact that we continue to wait with the same surety that we had the moment when we felt it, even though it seems to be delaying.